All right, our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39 will serve as our text, but I'll begin reading in Matthew chapter 22, in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So this lawyer, he was an expert in the law of Moses, comes to Jesus and he asks him a question and he says, "Of all of the 613 commandments in the law of Moses, which is the greatest?" And this is a topic that would be debated forever amongst the rabbis back in that day. And even so today, and some may say that it's the first of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other God before me. Some may say that it is another commandment. But many experts in the scriptures agreed that it was the commandment that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, the Shema. And Jesus affirms the correctness of this view. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, where we read this. "Now this is the commandment. And these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess." So we have it right here in the scriptures. The Lord puts a stamp on that. "Now this is the commandment, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And our Lord goes on to say that the second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So he's going to pose more of a challenge to this certain expert of the law and those who are hearing this dialogue. The second commandment is like the first in the sense that it is dependent upon the first and in the spirit required to be kept. Without the love of God being present, one cannot love another person with a love that imitates God's spirit of love. No one can love like our God, and no one can love another individual like a Christian who is operating in the spirit of God's love. This is the difference between Christian love and the love that we might find in other religions, in philosophy, in humanism. So then, we begin with loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. How do we do this? Left to ourselves, we are utterly incapable of doing this. For there is none who seeks after God. Therefore, how can one understand the love of God? As with everything else, we are dependent upon the grace of God. And Jesus himself says this, "Without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Notwithstanding, we are commanded to love God by the law and by the Lord himself in our texts. So where do we begin? We begin by seeing how he loves us. Friends, see how he loves you. There were numerous examples in the gospel where people are amazed by the love and the compassion of the Savior. For he excels all others in these attributes. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And again, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So what shall we say to all of this? We love him because he first loved us. And if we don't know the love of God, how then can we love our neighbor, our brethren, our brothers and sisters in the church, our family, our children, our parents, and our spouse as we ought? Have you accepted the fact that you are a sinner and that Jesus is your Savior? And that his love for you compelled him to the cross? What sacrificial love, what amazing love is this? Do you believe that though he died, yet he now lives? And that today he resides in heaven, preparing a place for you, and on earth offering his love, peace, joy, and goodwill? Even eternal love and salvation. And so, friends, if you know the love of God through Jesus Christ, then it should follow that you will love your neighbor as yourself. See, when Jesus put that second commandment out there, he was talking to a lot of folks, some of them religious. Some of them maybe not so religious. They were just seekers looking for a way out, an excuse, or fault finders. And he puts that second commandment out there to challenge them. If you really love God, then you should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, how does the world love? The world loves impatiently. The world sets terms and conditions for love. The world operates under a philosophy of a prenuptial agreement when it comes to love. The world refuses to forgive. The world reminds others of their past sins in order to control them or to belittle them. And in the end, the world will not sacrifice for another out of love. In the end, the worldly love is a love characterized by my way or the highway. Self-centered love apart from God fails. And by the way, if you're a Christian in my hearing this morning, and you are not operating in the love of God, you can fall prey to this kind of spirit as well. If you're out of fellowship with God, how then can you really be loving your neighbor? Your children, your parents, your spouse, as Christ loved the church. Notice that the commandment says, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, it is natural to love oneself. We'd all like to believe that we are so virtuous. You know, virtue signaling is very much in vogue these days. That we are so virtuous that we don't love ourselves. We only love other people. But it is natural to love ourselves. For the Lord has created us that way. Otherwise, he would not have given the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. To fall into the depths of depression and anxiety and self-hate is something outside of the will of God for you. And anything that tends to draw us to that place is not of God. Friends, let our identity be in Christ. Let each one of us think of himself or herself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Do you love your neighbor, your fellow human being, without condition? I don't say love their sin. I say seek the best for all men and women. And more so, for spiritual and physical kinsmen. John challenges us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. It's not a lot of wiggle room there. You find that word must quite a bit in the Bible, don't we? And it goes against the pride of man who's always looking for some gray area to find the excuse, the way out. Jesus says this in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. In other words, stay there. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And he left this with the disciples, the apostles, the 11 in the upper room. And these things are written for our edification and for our instruction as well. And so when we love our neighbor, let us begin at home. Sometimes it's easier to love the stranger who we don't know than the one who is near to us, whom we do know, and we may even know a few of their faults, even as they know a few of our faults. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So not only does this mean physical provision, we often find this verse quoted with regard to fathers or the man of the home taking care of his household physically, going to work, earning money, and so forth. But also, Let us as Christians be spiritual providers to those who are around us, and providers of God's love in our homes. Let us hear the charge. The charge of the Apostle Paul. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So we can summarize this way. Husbands, love sacrificially as Christ loves. Wives, show your love for your husband by respecting his headship. Children, obey your parents. Parents, nurture your children. Every one of you, love God with all your being. Know Jesus. Know true love. And be a conduit of that love. And if you sin, do not excuse yourself saying, "But I am a hard man," or "I was not brought up like this, so I don't know how," or "You don't know my case. I have been too hurt. I cannot love." Or "I cannot forgive." Put down your weapons, let go of your pride, and make an effort. Jesus does not call you to do that which you cannot do. He does not make suggestions, nor does he appeal to obsolete commands. Instead, he affirms the royal law of Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, it is enough. Let us fall to our knees in prayer. Accept the love of Christ. Believe his gospel and get busy putting God's love into action in our lives, especially in our own homes, one day at a time. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you will give us aid in doing that. Father God, we know that we don't love you perfectly as we ought. Help us that we might obey and be aligned to the first and great commandment, that we might find a fellowship, the fellowship of your love through Jesus Christ, who loves us and dies for us. that in so knowing such a great love on a minute-by-minute basis, that we too might love in a way that is honorable to you. As we go forth, may we love our spouse, love our parents, love our children, love the brethren in this church, love our co-workers and neighbors, even if they irritate us a little bit, in such a way that if you were standing right next to us, that you would approve. And may we repeat that manner of love day by day. Please, Lord, we ask that you give us aid, and may your Spirit continue to be the worship leader of the rest of this service in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.